Welcome to episode 4 of Business Christmas. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Kat.
And we're coming to you from Brooklyn, New York, where we have just watched A Christmas Kiss. Now, this one is a Kat favorite that, but I had never seen it. But I will just take a second to explain that this falls a little bit outside of our normal subgenre of these movies. So normally the high-powered businesswoman ends up in a small town over Christmas and falls in love with the town handyman, generally speaking. And in this one, there is no small town situation. They're in Boston the whole time. And the man she falls in love with is actually very wealthy, although we know he's a good guy because he loves Christmas. But, you know, he's a businessman, which usually the businessmen are the evil guys. He's also not that attractive.
Sorry, Brendan Fair.
Yeah, a lot of which has to do with his hairstyle, we think. Yeah. In the movie, it's just not very flattering. It's basically a business mullet. And then additionally, he also is the boyfriend of the lead character's boss, which has some complications. You know, it makes him not really the best guy at some times. But since he does love Christmas, we know that he's actually a great guy.
It took a minute for him to win either of us over.
Yeah.
Or by a minute, I mean the entire movie. And then I was like, all right, I guess I'll get on board because this is happening whether I'm here for it or not. So.
Right. So the movie really starts with the lead character who's named Wendy. And she's like with her friends and they do a lot of, like, telling her she's really boring these days and she needs to loosen up and we're going to glam you up and dress you up tonight like a sugar plum fairy. Her friends are all in the theater and they're working on the Nutcracker Ballet, so they're very artistic and they want to, you know, dress her up a little, make her look fun. And they're telling her, you never have fun anymore. And then they start putting glitter on her face, and it's called Be Wild Body Glitter, yeah. And she's supposed to now be wild.
Be wild. And you know what? It works. So when we meet Wendy, she is kind of walking through the backstage area at a theater. There are all these dancers around her, and then she sees two people she knows, one of whom is this tech crew guy. I don't know if you know specifically what Charlie's role is exactly in the theater, but he's like he does something technical for the theater. And so he and also her friend Tressa start providing all of this expository information, just telling Wendy things about her life that obviously she already knows so that the audience can learn them about her. And at this point, I realize that even though I've seen this movie probably at least 5 times, I never remember what Wendy's job actually is. I'm like, is she a set designer? Is she an interior designer? And it turns out she's kind of both.
Yeah. So she's done set design before, but her day job is interior design, and she's the assistant for like the most famous interior designer in Boston. And we find out in this expository situation that her boss is a nightmare and calls her all hours of the day, you know, all day long to come do stuff. And so when she's getting glammed up with her friends after the exposition.
Oh, we also learn one more important thing. Charlie, the tech crew guy, says that her set designs are the best he's ever seen.
Oh, right.
So that's also important.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
No, that was very important. So they leave the theater, they're getting dressed up, and of course her maniac boss calls and basically, no fun tonight for you. You need to run over to her apartment and
turn the heat on,
yeah,
I think.
It was something.
So it was warm enough when she got there. And it's like, you know, you can get an app for that, actually. I used to work for a company that actually made an app where you could remotely control your thermostat. So
yeah, this might have been before those
maybe
times,
her
though.
Boss should look into it. I don't know.
Yeah, and she's super wealthy, so she can afford it.
Definitely. So, also, she might get a rebate from Con Ed if she signs up.
So. That's true. Be green, everyone. So she... she's dressed up like she's going to a costume ball as a sugar plum fairy with all this glitter on, and rushes out to go turn the heat on. And this was the first moment where it sort of felt like Working Girl to me, because she's in the boss's apartment and she picks up the phone and like talks to herself like, oh, this is Wendy. Of course I'll design your interior design. Like totally pretending she lives there and she's the famous designer and like this is what it's like to live on the other side. And it just felt very Melanie Griffith trying on dresses.
Wait, I just realized that this movie is literally Working Girl.
It's really,
it is literally Working Girl.
I know. I wrote it down a few times.
Change some details, make it more Christmassy. It is Working Girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
That was my first hint of it. And then at the end, it really pays off too. So we'll get there. I don't have much more to say about the apartment other than this is how we know, like,
oh yeah,
her boss is a bitch and really wealthy.
Yep. So she, yeah, that's really, let's see. No, I don't have anything else to say about the apartment. I did think it was funny that when she was like pretending to be on the phone, and I totally forgot that that was like a very, I agree, that was like a very Working Girl moment. So the next thing that happens, and this is probably like the most important thing that happens in the movie, because basically all of the action hinges on this one thing for the rest of the film. She gets in the elevator after she leaves her boss, Miss Hall's apartment. She always calls her Miss Hall.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's weird. It's super weird. So she gets into this elevator. There's something like a little off about the elevator, and there was like a bump. And so she's like, huh, that doesn't seem good. Then it stops at a floor, and this guy gets on who I wrote, this Patrick Bateman looking guy with a banker mullet gets on the elevator. And he really does have,
it's really awful.
Banker mullet. It's not a good look. It's definitely not a good look. We Googled some photos of this actor, Brendan Fair, and he's definitely had better haircuts than this by a lot. So he gets on the elevator, and then the shaking gets worse, and then the elevator kind of drops, and they are pushed into each other's arms, and
she says, this doesn't feel right, and then it drops, and this is my worst fear. I am terrified of elevators, like, really terrified, and for them, it ends up being, like, this romantic thing. I would be screaming. Mm-hmm. I would be crying, screaming, like, beating on the doors, like, and they are just clinging on to each other in this really romantic kind of way.
Oh, yeah. And then when she says, this doesn't feel right. And he says something like, it feels right to me or something like that.
Yes, it's so cheeseball. It's so cheeseball. And then they kiss immediately.
Yep.
And they have this spectacular.
They are making out.
Make out kiss.
Yeah.
On the elevator. And all I can think is, I would be screaming right now. Like,
totally.
The last thing on my mind would be making out with this ugly stranger.
Yep. And so they finally reach the lobby and the doors open and there are carolers there, and they continue making out until they realize they're carolers. And I wrote, carolers ruin everything, because they pretty much do.
Well, and then she like darts off from him, like through the carolers crowd, and he can't really make it through, and she runs out of the building, and it felt like a Cinderella moment to me, where like the prince is running after her and can't find her and can't get through the crowd.
Totally.
And then she's gone, and it's just a mystery where she went.
Mm-hmm.
So then she does end up meeting up with her friends who are not in costume.
Why
like
are they not wearing glitter? They were all wearing glitter earlier.
And they're just like normal. They're dressed up to go out, but they're not like dressed up in,
no,
in Christmas costume.
They don't
like
have
she
the
is.
Makeup that she had on. They don't have anything. There's no, what, Be Wild? Is that what it's
Be
called?
Wild.
Be Wild. There's no
Be Wild.
Wild body glitter to be seen on either of her friends, who are also her roommates. So there's Caroline, who's terrible, and Tressa, who is amazing.
Yeah, we love Tressa. We're fully Team Tressa. We kind of think the movie should be renamed Tressa.
And just be Tressa.
And it's not Tessa, it's Tressa.
Tressa. Yeah.
We were wrong at first. We thought it was Tessa. And then the other bitch, Caroline, is
her.
The worst.
She's the worst.
After literally everything she says in the movie, you can just say, shut up, Caroline, and it works.
Yeah,
we know because we tried it.
Yeah, basically, this movie, the longer version of the title of this movie is A Christmas Kiss, or Tressa, or Shut Up, Caroline.
Yep, exactly. So she meets up with Awesome Tressa and Terrible Caroline, and they notice immediately she's glowing, different. And we've got our old Wendy back, even though she showed up 10 seconds ago. Right. And they're just so excited that she's back and she's flushed and what happens. And she starts telling them the story of the elevator kiss with this stranger. And she talks about how they had a spark. And she's never had a spark before, but she has it now. And if she, when she's in an old age home with Alzheimer's, she'll remember this kiss. That's how great it was. And I was like, wow, I would like a kiss like that.
Yeah, definitely.
It was one for the ages, I guess.
And then, so her whole thing is, you know, so one of her friends asks, well, did you get his number? Do you know his name? She says, no, I didn't get either. But if we're meant to be together, I'll find him again or he'll find me. And I just thought that was such a great attitude to have.
It was, she kind of walked it back a second later and was like, oh shit, I should have done this. But overall, she seems pretty zen about it. And I did like that attitude.
Mm-hmm, totally. The next thing that I wrote down was that her boss, we meet her boss.
Yes. So it's the next morning. Her boss calls her super early to have her come over. She's like still asleep and she jumps up and rushes off and goes to the boss's house. And immediately we know that this boss is terrible.
The worst.
She's rattling off a list of chores. She's supposed to be an assistant in terms of interior design, but she's really like a personal assistant. Mm-hmm. And so she's asking for things and she wants champagne, but not any champagne. It has to be Dom Perignon. And she notices the Be Wild glitter and has a fit about it and finds out that she had been wearing glitter the night before and says, I hope none of my friends recognized you around town, because obviously they're at going to the same places and they're in the same circles.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It was really weird. And like, who cares? It was glitter and she's allowed to go out. I mean,
yeah, a very absurd situation.
But they just make it very clear that this woman is terrible.
Yeah. So, Miss Hall leaves to, allow Wendy to have some time to do all of the stuff that she just dumped on her.
Right. But the stuff that she dumped on her was all related to the fact that Miss Hall's boyfriend, mm-hmm. Adam, who's always traveling, is now back in town and he's coming over for lunch. So the house has to be perfect by the time he comes over for lunch. But she, meanwhile, like goes to the spa and gets a massage, which was really like sexual and crass.
Yeah, it was pretty gross.
She's like moaning and it's very strange. And Wendy is cutting flowers and making the house look nice and stuff like that.
Why does he travel so much?
It's really unclear. Like, I don't know what he does for business. Mm. He just does business.
I guess I assumed that he just worked for his family's foundation. Like, he had so much, like,
they have a foundation.
Boston Brahmin, old money stuff going on that, like, he didn't have
to work. He just runs a foundation.
And he just likes to look like an iBanker. But maybe he is.
What would he be doing internationally then?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I think he would be doing things in Boston, because
right.
That's where I would assume their investments are focused or their contributions are focused.
Right. Unclear. We don't know what he does, but he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
So the boss comes back just as Wendy's finished making everything look perfect in the house. And Miss Hall basically says, get out of here before he shows up. You look terrible. So Wendy's like, fine, and rushes to kind of leave the house. And, you know, a key thing here is she, just like Clark Kent, is wearing glasses today. And she was not the night before.
Yep.
And she's also no longer wearing the copious amounts of body glitter, although apparently there's still some on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's rushing to kind of leave the apartment as Adam shows up.
And guess who Adam is?
Adam is the guy from the elevator.
I know, it's shocking.
And so she's like, how did you find me? And then he interrupts her and is like, hi, I'm Adam. Does not recognize her because, duh, she's wearing glasses. So obviously she looks totally different than she did 12 mm-hmm. hours before. And so he kind of brushes right past her and Wendy leaves kind of heartbroken.
Yep. And then he and Miss Hall have this conversation and he says, I have a proposal for you. And so she gets all excited because she thinks he's finally going to ask her to marry him. But instead, he basically gives her a really onerous chore, which is to decorate his house for a Christmas party that he's throwing.
I mean, I assume there's a business transaction behind it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
Either way, I guess so. It's like, I wrote down douchebag in huge letters because he says it like he's leading up to a proposal.
Yeah, terrible.
And then he's just like, yeah, can you decorate my house for a gala for this benefit for the ballet?
Yeah. I wrote down, like, I was thinking, like, it reminded me of when this guy, I was seeing this guy and he asked me to water his plants.
Oh my God, he was the worst. I was horrified when that happened.
Hope you're not listening. Oh, I hope he is, actually.
And then also in this little moment, he does kiss her hello, like, I really want to say hello and like kiss you thoroughly kind of thing. And he does, and it's clear that there's no spark the way that there was with the mystery woman in the elevator the night before.
Actually, their making out was gross.
It seemed very
perfunctory.
Yeah, like robotic. Yeah.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
And like gross. I don't know. It grossed me out.
Yeah. So then I think we go meet up with the friends again. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. I wrote, her friend is the voice of wisdom. That was Tressa, obviously. I would never say that about Caroline.
Shut up, Caroline.
Yeah, shut up, Caroline. And one of the things that Tressa said, or no, it wasn't Tressa. I think it was Caroline because it was really annoying. She said, you can't, so Wendy's telling them what has just transpired, like, oh, the guy with the spark, he was actually Miss Hall's boyfriend. I don't know. It's terrible. I just need to, like, put it out of my head and avoid seeing him. And Caroline goes, you can't ignore the spark. But she says spark, like, spark. She draws
She's
it
like
out
whiny.
It's so annoying. You can't ignore the spark.
She's the worst.
She's the worst.
And they really encourage her to, like, tell him now that she knows who he is. And she's like, well, he'll figure it out. And they basically say, no, he's a guy. You have to spell it out for him.
That's right.
Which,
true.
Yeah. Yeah. Preach on, Tressa.
Yeah. He's a guy and apparently has not updated his vision prescription in a while.
Right.
Needs new contacts. So then we go back to the worst couple ever, Miss Hall and Adam. And she is telling him, now that you're home, we have to sync our social calendars. And she's giving him, like, this laundry list of important social events that they need to be attending over the next few weeks. And it's terrible.
Exactly. And part of this calendar is the gala that he's going to be hosting at his home that she's, you know, he's asked her to design, do the interior design for. And she wants this to be a party where they invite all of their friends because secretly she thinks it's going to be an engagement party as well. But he's like, can we just focus on the foundation donors and on like the donors to the ballet? Cause that's what's really important here. And this is when you maybe sort of start to realize that he's a good guy. I don't know. At this point, like, he's cheated on his girlfriend. He led
her on with a proposal that wasn't.
That wasn't. So, like, I'm just not feeling that he's a really good guy.
Well, but look, you're starting to learn that he's obsessed with Christmas.
Yeah.
And that is really the only key ingredient to being a good person.
Right.
In the universe of business Christmas.
It's so true. It's so true. So then I have, we go back to the roommate's house.
Oh my God, I love
it. They're having a dance party. That reminded me of, like, a seventh grade sleepover where they, like, they're in cute pajamas and just, like, doing a dance routine.
It wasn't just, oh, we're dancing to something. It was choreographed.
Completely. Completely. But, of course, once again, Miss Hall calls to interrupt. And, essentially, we then learn Wendy's going to have to work on the interior design project with Adam at his house. And she kind of freaks out at this and basically tells Miss Hall that she really, she keeps trying to get out of it essentially because she doesn't want to get involved in this situation. and Miss Hall is not having it. And also is just continually talking about my future husband, this, and like, I mean,
she's a striver.
She is really forcing it. Mm-hmm. He has not proposed, and all she can talk about is being engaged.
At some point while we were watching, I wrote down that she has, like, her energy is manipulative.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I mean, she's not going with the flow at all.
No. Everything's very carefully orchestrated.
Definitely. And so she gets pretty frustrated with Wendy and snaps at her, "What is your problem?" And then after that, So Wendy and Adam...
They get in the elevator
again. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So you would think that he would at least recognize her in that context.
Right.
But he does not.
He does not, because she's still wearing glasses.
Yes.
Which we know means you can't recognize anyone. That's why I just put in my contact lenses, because I wanted you to be able to recognize me. Yeah. So he gets in the elevator again, and one thing that you said would be solved but isn't solved is, like, he doesn't live in the building, so both times he's getting on the elevator in a floor below her.
No, it was actually solved when you were in the kitchen. Oh. Like, there was literally, like, you saw the doors open, and you saw a plaque that said Hughes Foundation on one of the floors. So his family's foundation is apparently in the same building as Miss Hall's apartment.
Yeah, I don't know how that sounds.
That does not make sense to me, but whatever. There's a lot of suspension of disbelief involved in these movies.
Got it. So he gets in the elevator again as she's already in it, and they start talking about theater, and they both love it.
Especially Shakespeare.
They especially love Shakespeare in a really weird kind of way. But what I noted particularly about this is oftentimes in these movies, the love interest, you know, he's the handyman, repairman, like town driver, what have you. And we find out that he's got some, what Kat has dubbed, value in a capitalistic society. So he used to be an architect in Seattle. He studied something, painting at the Sorbonne. Like,
it didn't make him talented somehow, but anyway.
Right. Oh, God.
Sorry. Sorry to that guy.
Yeah. So this to me was like us learning kind of the opposite. So we know that this guy has business value in a capitalist society, and now we're learning he's got an appreciation for the arts as well. So he's not just running this foundation that supports the arts in Boston just because it's family, whatever, but he really appreciates the art. And so they start...
We need to know his Christmas value.
This is his Christmas value. Exactly.
Business value, Christmas value. Oh,
this is going to be a recurring theme from now on when we talk about both of those. So they're like, you know, saying dumb shit about Shakespeare to each other that everyone knows. And it's really funny because they're getting off the elevator and saying goodbye. And he says, "Parting is such sweet sorrow." And then she finishes the couplet from Romeo and Juliet, "That I shall say goodnight till it be morrow." So I studied theater in college, and I am one of the biggest Shakespeare fans on the planet. Am I wrong? Like, everyone knows those lines, but he's totally impressed that she can finish the couplet. Mm-hmm. Like, blown away. Wow. He goes, "Wow, like, you really know your Shakespeare.
You went to 10th grade English class."
Right. That's hot.
Yep, super hot.
So I just thought that was really funny. But yeah, they bond over this love of theater, and that's cute. I can appreciate that. So we're starting to learn, you know, again, there are some likable things about this seemingly unlikable guy.
Mm-hmm. And the next thing I have is that she meets back up with him at his house.
Yeah, the only thing in between there is she meets up with her friends again, and... Tressa has a nutcracker, and she's basically like, "If he messes with you, I'm going to crack his nuts." Amazing. And it was incredible. And Caroline just said some stupid shit.
Was Caroline the one who said the magic and romance of Christmas is bringing the two of you together?
Obviously.
That sounds like a Caroline line. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's the worst.
They would not even try. Probably they wrote it for Tressa, and that actress was like, no.
Like, absolutely not.
She's like, this is so not Tressa.
Yeah. It's not in character. So that's a brief moment, but she ends up taking this nutcracker with her as part of the stuff that she brings over to his house. So she's essentially packed a little gift basket, goes over to his house to take photos and take measurements so that she and Miss Hall can start designing the party decor. Mm-hmm. And he's got this amazing house. It's like a real nice house.
Although it's like a brownstone in Beacon Hill.
Yeah. And she like compliments him on it
back bay,
from
maybe.
Just the, yeah, could be from just the like entryway. But it really is a nice house. It's very impressive. And she walks through and he's got all these great books and she notes, she can't believe he's got a complete edition of Shakespeare's works and has the complete works of Shakespeare. And my Riverside's right across the room from us. So like, yeah, of course. Who, like, a lot of people have the complete works of Shakespeare. And then she finds he's got a first edition of A Christmas Carol, which his grandmother gave to him. And so he's got this deep connection with his grandmother who embodies Christmas throughout this. And again, he's showing us his Christmas value. And he just really, really loves Christmas Carol.
He really does. So then our bestie Miss Hall rolls up. And at this point, I noticed that she apparently only wears houndstooth. So,
which I love.
She actually looks great. Although this ensemble was a little less amazing than the coat she was wearing before. But I also observed that Elizabeth Rome. So it's Elizabeth Rome from Law and Order. She used to be one of the ADAs under Jack McCoy. And, or I guess a deputy ADA under Jack McCoy. And I just felt like her makeup did not look good in this movie.
Oh, I thought she was stunning throughout
really?
The movie.
I think she's so pretty, and I just didn't, I don't know. I think this was the scene where she had kind of like a turquoise eyeshadow on that I didn't think quite worked for her.
It could be.
So then Wendy is there, and she is measuring rooms in Adam's house for,
and just failing at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's. I wrote that she was spastic because she was spastic.
She's like trying to hold up this measuring tape that keeps falling because measuring tapes aren't really built to like stand. And she's just a train wreck.
For someone who's basically an apprentice interior designer, she cannot operate a measuring tape.
Correct.
It's really troubling.
I'm concerned for her.
Yeah. Do you need me to call someone, Wendy?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you okay?
Need some help. Are you having a stroke?
Yeah.
So, and while she's doing this, Adam and Miss Hall are, like, theoretically working on planning this event, but they're talking about the guest list and, again, arguing because she wants it to be her friends and he wants it to really be about the fundraiser. Basically, like, they're arguing over the guest list, and I'm like, that's not what you hired her for. You hired her to design. Like, why is she doing the party planning, too? It didn't make any sense at all to me. And meanwhile, we're just distracted by this mess of measuring tape going on behind them.
Yeah, and he's basically sitting there. He's kind of in this conversation with Miss Hall, but he's actually just checking Wendy out the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not too cool of him.
That's so true. So I think he maybe leaves at this point, and Wendy's like, I have this great idea. We should theme it after A Christmas Carol in honor of this book that he loves and his grandma gave him. And basically, Miss Hall says, A Christmas Carol is so passé. And she's like really not into it.
Which is a hilarious dig at, I don't know who made this movie, I don't know if it was Lifetime or if it was ABC Family or what, but A Christmas Carol is the basis for, like, so many business Christmas movies or Christmas movies, so it's pretty funny.
True. That's true. And then, correct me if I'm missing anything, but then they sort of, Wendy starts asking how they got together and how they started dating one another, and Miss Hall is like, well, I knew who he was, and I was attracted to his lifestyle, which complements mine, and I was attracted to his money, and we are equal in looks, ambition, blah, blah, blah.
And it's super romantic.
It's really ridiculous, but also they're really not equal in looks. She is so much more beautiful than he is.
She looks a lot better.
She's stunning, and he's in a business banker mullet.
He's a butterface.
Yeah, exactly.
So the best part, though, is that she actually went out of her way to meet him. So she decided she wanted to date him before she ever met him or knew what he was like as a person. So she went to an event, I think, in the Berkshires, and had a mutual friend introduce them. And Wendy is sort of horrified by this, and she's like, isn't that kind of, and then Miss Hall completes the sentence that says, calculating, exactly.
So, which fits in with your manipulative comment before.
Yeah, she's super manipulative.
She just kind of orchestrates everything.
Yeah. So I've been trying to figure out when the right time to bring this up is, so I guess I'll mention it now. So I've also, as you know, recently seen the sequel to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if sequel's the right word, because it's not quite a continuation of the same action, but A Christmas Kiss 2, which is also currently available on Netflix, as is A Christmas Kiss, kind of has the same plot with different characters, but Miss Hall is in it, except that it's like an older, slightly older, slightly wiser Miss Hall, who's actually really nice now.
And she learned her lesson.
She keeps making all of these references to how elevators can change your life. And like,
oh my God.
And how you, I wish I had quotes from that, because the stuff that she says is so funny. She's almost like an oracle or something, who's like just telling the characters in the second movie about like, well, you know, you might think a kiss in an elevator is no big deal, but actually,
oh my God,
it can change everything.
That is crazy.
Ask me how I know. It's not a good movie. I don't recommend it, but that part is actually hilarious.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm amused that that's the one character they brought over.
Yeah, right? So weird. So then Wendy stays up all night making amazing designs. Oh, but I skipped over
the theater.
Charlie.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what happened with Charlie there.
So Adam goes to the theater where the opening scene happened with Wendy and Charlie and Tressa, and Charlie being the wise old theater hand of some kind. We're not really sure.
He's an IOTSI.
Yeah, exactly. So Adam's like sitting in the theater, and Charlie's like pushing a cart across the stage and notices Adam sitting there and comes out to talk to him, and turns out they know each other and they're great friends. And so Adam starts asking, you know, how did you know your wife was the one? And Charlie basically says, it was our first kiss and it gave me all these flutters. And if you have flutters, that's good. And flutter is the equivalent of a spark.
Flutter is the male equivalent of a spark, apparently.
Exactly.
That's what I learned from this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good lesson. But if you're feeling knots are bad. So if it's knots, it's not good. But if it's a flutter, then you know she's the one. And Adam is like, has this complicated, well, I had a flutter the other night, but now it's a knot, and now I don't know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm doubting everything, and I kissed a girl in an elevator, et cetera. What should I do? And Charlie's like, I have no idea. And Adam's like, cool, thanks, Charlie. And that's the end of that. But it establishes that he's friends with this guy and, you know, gets that advice. So then we do go back to Wendy in her apartment designing in a design frenzy. She's grabbing this paper, that paper, color penciling on her bed, and staying up all night making these apparently incredible designs for his gala at his house.
And, of course, she then brings those designs to Miss Hall the next morning, who hates them.
She says, this is repellent.
Yep.
I am utterly disappointed. And she just is, like, disgusted completely. Not even, like, these aren't good and rude about it, but actually viscerally disgusted by these designs, which I couldn't really tell a lot from the pictures. It just looked like a kid colored a Christmas tree to me. But
agreed.
So I don't know if it was good or bad, but she is revolted by these drawings. Why would he like it? Blah, blah, blah. And at this moment, I realize, okay, she's obviously at some point going to steal these designs and mm-hmm. claim them for herself.
And so they had actually had this conversation, I think, the day before, where Miss Hall had said to Wendy, the party is not about sentimentality. It's about impressing his guests. And so her reaction to Wendy's very sentimental designs is totally in line with her thinking around what the purpose of this event is.
Right, right. But Wendy obviously knows him after a day better than Miss Hall knows him. And has really used this Christmas Carol idea to inspire things. And we know he loves Christmas, which we keeps getting reinforced. And this design really plays into that. So then Adam arrives, and Miss Hall shows her designs that she stayed up all night working on, and he hates them.
Yeah, they're like, I feel like we didn't get to see them really, but I suspect they are competent but soulless.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're probably a little cold.
Like her.
Yeah, exactly. And she goes, oh, well, I thought you might think that, so I have a second set of designs to show you. And she immediately pulls over Wendy's designs and shows them and takes credit for them as her own while Wendy is sitting there. So that's what I didn't see coming. I really thought, like,
she would do it behind her back.
She would do it behind her back and she'd find out later, but right in front of Wendy, she's like, these are my second designs, and he loves them, and she's like, it's, you know, inspired by A Christmas Carol, and he is over the moon for these designs, and Wendy is just, like, watching in horror as this goes on in front of her.
I'm surprised she didn't just explode.
I would have said something in that moment.
I would hope I would say something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess she's really trying to not get fired. She thinks this is the job that will open doors to her in the future. So that's why she puts up with all of the, like, calls late at night in the morning, turning on the heat, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And she actually kind of, you know, puts up with this too. And he's really excited by the designs, and it's exactly what he was looking for. And he leaves, and she does confront Miss Hall about it. And Miss Hall basically is like, you work for me, so your designs are mine anyway.
And she threatens to fire. She threatens to basically get her blacklisted in Boston
if she says or does anything.
She told her, the most you can ever hope for is designing prefab housing in New Hampshire, which we all know is the kiss of death.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. So there's another interesting theme throughout this movie that revolves around coffee.
Yes.
They just drink coffee all the time. Now, I love coffee. Kat loves coffee. We do drink it a lot, but it is really a focal point of the movie. Yep. And so there's a whole scene where, you know, earlier Miss Hall has her coffee order and gives Wendy how Adam likes his coffee. And so she goes to the coffee shop where Terrible Caroline works.
Ugh, the worst.
And gets coffee from there, and Adam's super impressed by it and wants to know where she got it, and so she tells him. So in the next scene, Wendy is at the coffee shop with Tressa and Caroline, and they're talking about him and what's been going on, and again, her friends are always sort of urging her to tell him who she is, and now tell him that it was your design, and then he comes into the coffee shop because I guess he was allured by this great coffee, and so now he's going to go there too. And so he comes over, and he meets her friends, and he immediately knows who they are because he's totally listened to Wendy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, Caroline, you're the actor. Oh, Tressa, you're the makeup artist. And it's really kind of sweet that he already knows who they are.
Pays attention to her.
Yeah.
What she's talking about, who her friends are.
Yeah.
He's invested in her.
He is, and the friends are really impressed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also make some snide comments alluding to the elevator incident, overt enough for him to pick up on.
Yeah, they're like trying to let him know, and Wendy's getting really mad about it. So, so the next thing I have is he goes to her apartment, to Miss Hall's apartment, and wants to put on Christmas music.
She's such a hater. She is a Christmas hater.
That's how you know she's bad.
She is all business and no Christmas.
So he's like, oh, can I put on some Christmas music? And she's like, anything but. It's all they've been playing since Halloween. I don't want to hear it. And you know he's super into Christmas music. Mm-hmm. And that's how you know he's good. And she doesn't want anything to do with it, which is how you know she sucks. That's really all I have to say about that scene. I'm not sure if there was more to it.
Nope, that's it. And then, so he leaves, right? And then we go into the next scene in his house.
Yeah.
With Tressa and Wendy show up. I don't know how Tressa got roped into this.
I'm guessing she wanted a little extra cash or something, because she's a makeup artist. It's probably, like, she needs some side jobs. So she's carrying around this, like, huge street light.
Yep.
To place somewhere in his house. And Miss Hall is making her move it every time she puts it down. And Wendy is like, well, I know where it's supposed to go because I designed this whole thing. And Miss Hall is like, no, this is my thing. It's going to go here. Oh, no, wait, move it there. Oh, no, wait, move it there. And Tessa's like, I'll tell you where I'm going to put this in a second. And then as she's, like, saying that, she accidentally kind of backs up the street lamp, and it clocks Miss Hall in the face.
It's amazing. It's like Marsha Brady, oh, my nose, that kind of thing. It's real good.
It's amazing. And it's like, yeah, that bitch deserves it.
She totally did.
Christmas hater. And so her nose is totally broken, and she's like, go get me ice, and Wendy's freaking out. But, like, no one is like, let's take you to the emergency room.
Which you would think would be the first move.
I mean, she was knocked real hard.
Yeah, by a metal street lamp.
Yeah. So she's freaking out. She wants ice, and then she asks for her purse because she needs to see how bad the damage is. And she looks in her compact mirror, and she freaks out, and she's like, I can't let Adam see me like this. And Wendy's like, well, surely if he loves you, it won't matter. And then what does she say back?
The best line of the movie. Plain girls like you always think like that.
So she just over and over again is like, Adam can't see me like this. I can't let him see me like this.
I need to go to New York.
She decides to go to her mom's house in New York and go to her mom's plastic surgeon. And she's just going to go for a few days. And then magically she'll return for the party that she thinks will be her engagement party. And she'll look fine. And she's also worried about there's going to be engagement photos printed. I need to look good. I can't have a broken face. So the next thing we know, she's like running out the door. And she's like, just tell Adam, whatever, Wendy, you're in charge of the design. And bitch leaves town for a few days.
Yep. So then Wendy and Adam, therefore, start spending more time together. And so one of the next thing that I have is that they were talking about, they went to buy the trees together.
They go tree shopping.
Right. Yeah, they went to buy the trees.
So part of this design scheme for the Christmas Carol is there's going to be three Christmas trees, and one will be representing Christmas past, one Christmas present, and one Christmas future. And so Wendy basically is like, okay, the next thing on the list is to go get the trees, so I'm going to go get the trees. And Adam's like, you're going to go get three Christmas trees by yourself? She's like, well, yeah, of course. And he's like, no, I'm coming with you. Now, as I've mentioned before, I'm Jewish, so I don't really buy Christmas trees, but how are two people going to get three Christmas trees back to us? They're full-size Christmas trees.
I'm thinking about buying one Christmas tree and, like, a pretty small one, and I will buy it a block from my apartment, and I'm not sure I can carry that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what kind of car he's got, but I don't think you can put three Christmas trees, like, 10-foot Christmas trees on his roof.
Maybe they're getting them delivered, though.
Oh, maybe.
I was just reading on Facebook that one of my friends had her tree delivered today, so maybe that's what's happening there.
Could be. I also noted during this scene, as they're Christmas tree shopping, that the music in the background is a, like, kind of country pop rendition of Oh Christmas Tree, Oh Christmas Tree, which was very on the nose and also a theme throughout the movie, mm-hmm. that whatever is happening in the scene, they, like, try to find a Christmas song to support it.
Yeah, and then they're talking about Christmas movies, and he asks, what are some of your favorites? And just the way he asked it, I said to Nicole, this is what he jerks off to. I'm just like, this guy's got a weird Christmas kink going on.
I know. Well, and they're getting coffee after they've got the trees.
Yeah, they always get coffee.
It's really weird.
Oh, and there were more carolers. Ugh, the worst.
Yeah. And he's explaining when he was a kid, trees just arrived, but my grandma was really what kept Christmas spirit going. And again, he does talk about his grandma a lot in this movie, which
obsessed
is...
obsessed with his grandma.
Yeah. Definitely. And And that's important, like, that you just kind of know that about him because he's always talking about her. So you'd think that, you know, you'd think his girlfriend would know much about her, which we find out she doesn't.
She does not.
So then Wendy's doing more decorating in this house, like, mm-hmm. the next day. And he brings her figgy pudding.
Ew.
Which I've never had.
I haven't either.
And I was watching a different one of these movies the other day, and there was, like, a whole joke of, like, do you even know what figgy pudding is? And they're like, no, we don't. But they were, like, singing it anyway. And I was like, yeah, that's a valid point. There's a whole song about figgy pudding, and I just don't think people really eat it. But it's a cute moment. They try it. They hate it. And it's pretty adorable. It looked gross.
And then he starts talking to her a bit about Miss Hall and some issues in his relationship, which is kind of a shitty thing that dudes do sometimes when they're, like, dating someone, but, like, kind of, like, dipping their toe in, mm-hmm. like, to see what's happening with someone else. Definitely been the recipient of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he tells her that he wants to take her out to dinner.
Wait, well...
Oh, did I miss something? Sorry.
Just, no, in that conversation, he's like, you know, sometimes we don't see eye to eye, but then she does something like this.
Oh, that's right.
Indicating the design, and it's like, that's what made him realize, like, she's worth it and he should be dating her, is this amazing Christmas design, because obviously this meant that she knew who he was and understood him. And so, again, it's like an indication that you're with the wrong person, you should really be with Wendy, because she's the one that designed it.
Totally.
But yeah, then he says, you know, can I take you to dinner as a thank you? Which we were like, okay.
This is inappropriate. You're complaining about your girlfriend and then, yeah. And
you're,
then
taking, you're taking her to dinner.
This other woman to dinner.
And they have dinner. They have dinner of pizza and beer.
I'm a little pissed about that, actually.
Me too. Me too.
I was like, you have so much money.
I had the same thought. I was like, you're not going to take her to a nice dinner.
You're so rich that you can get a hot girlfriend with that haircut, and, like, you're taking her to pizza and beer.
Right.
Like,
and this is your thank you. Like, one thing if you want to just, like, go for pizza and beer because that's what you're craving and whatever, but, like, you're like, let me take you to dinner as a thank you, and then you take her to pizza and beer.
Nope. It's really shitty. It's like that episode of Sex and the City where Carrie and Big finally go on a date and he takes her to, like, some random Chinese place.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Dude, what are you doing?
Come on, man.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know the Boston food scene that much, but, like, I don't know, even, like, spring for, like, Sportello or something, like, kind of low-key like that. Like,
yeah. Or like, any Italian place.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, come on.
Pick someone, yeah. Just, like, Sportello's, like, really good pasta, like, but it's, like, pretty low-key. I don't know. Yeah, pick an Italian place, go to the North End, do something romantic, like, oh, you're craving Italian, I guess, because you want pizza. Ugh.
And it wasn't like she suggested. If she had suggested a pizza and beer, I could probably get on board with it.
No, but instead the way he phrased it was like, I'm always eating fancy food, so I want to eat pizza and beer tonight. So that's where I'm taking you.
It's gross. Really weird.
Gross.
But it's supposed to signal to you that they're comfortable together and they don't need to be fancy. But it's kind of lame. And then he gets even more inappropriate and shows her the ring that he's bought Miss Hall.
Ugh.
As an engagement ring.
The worst.
He's not yet
proposed. I've said the worst about 45 times since we started recording.
Yeah, and 45 times before that.
Yeah.
During the movie.
Yeah, it's true.
And so he shows her the ring and he's like, I was thinking of proposing to Miss Hall. What do you think? Which is just a really weird thing to ask another woman who's her assistant.
So weird.
And it was really inappropriate. And basically she says, oh, it's beautiful, but it's not really Miss Hall's style. Like, she'd want something kind of more
modern,
contemporary,
yeah.
Flashy, whatever. And he talks a little bit about flutters and knots again. I don't know.
So inappropriate.
Yeah, it's really weird. He's, like, basically asking this woman... He's basically, like, wanting her to say, marry me instead, but, like, not really getting to it.
Yeah, it's a little weird that he keeps talking about the flutter situation when he hasn't connected the dots that Wendy is the woman that he had the flutters with.
Right.
It's really weird.
It's totally weird. And, at this point, so the glasses were, like, a big part of her... the reason he didn't recognize her. But at this point, she, like, actually isn't wearing her glasses all the time.
And
he still hasn't put it together that a week ago he kissed her. The only difference being was that she had glitter on. Like, that was the only difference.
And I will tell you, I was in a charity fashion show a few years ago where I basically had the exact makeup that Wendy was wearing in the elevator. I was still completely recognizable to anyone who knew me.
Well, it's not like it was a mask. It's not like it was, you know, something weird. Like, it was just glitter.
Yeah.
So then they leave dinner and walk outside, and there's a carriage in front, like a horse-drawn carriage. And he basically says, oh, maybe I'll propose to her in a carriage ride. And Wendy's like, again, that's not really Miss Hall. She'd want something more flashy and more, like, public. I think she uses the word public. Like, she wants other people to see her. And, like, Wendy is spot on. That is exactly what Miss Hall would want.
She really understands her boss. She's actually a great assistant.
She's a great assistant. So then he says, do you want to go for a carriage ride? It can be my practice run.
Gross.
It's so fucking weird.
Do not trial run your engagement on me.
No.
Gross.
It's really, really inappropriate. And then Jingle Bells comes on, again, the sort of, like, country pop version
of it.
It was terrible. But it's, like, dashing through the snow on a one-horse open sleigh, and here they are in this, like, horse-drawn carriage. And again, I was like, wow, the music here is, like, really a little too on the nose.
Definitely.
So they have this romantic ride, and
she's wearing this amazing outfit,
too. Oh, she looks so good.
This all-white ensemble where she's got, like, a white hat, white coat.
It was so
cute. Dress. Yeah, it was super cute.
Yeah, it really worked. So they have this great carriage ride, and the carriage – do you want to talk about the carriage driver?
He was Dickensian, kind of.
Yes.
He was wearing this hat that I feel like I've only seen in film versions of A Christmas Carol.
Uh-huh.
And so he says something to them about them being a lovely couple or something like that, and as they're getting out, and she says, oh, we're not, and then what's the guy's name?
Adam, yeah.
He, like, kind of speaks over her to, like, pay the guy or something, give him a tip, whatever. And then they step out of the carriage, and the driver says, true love gets me every time. He is just, you know, just one of those random voices of wisdom that you have in these movies. They could be stagehands. They could be carriage drivers.
Yeah, you just don't know.
They could be your awesome friend Tressa.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere.
Yeah. So they're kind of walking away from the carriage or getting out of the carriage, and she sort of trips, and he catches her.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he catches her is kind of in the exact same way that he was holding her in the elevator when it started to fall.
Yep.
And you can kind of see the recognition start from his point of view, and he, like, maybe can't place it exactly, but he's like, there was something there. And then she realizes she's left her purse in the carriage and kind of runs back and gets it and breaks the moment. But that's when you start to feel like he's starting to fall for her.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So then she's back with her friends, and they're in pajamas. I don't really remember much about this scene.
Except you wanted to go pajama shopping.
That's the only – my note on that scene is this movie triggers my shopping impulses. I am now wanting to go buy a real tree for the first time in years, and now I want Christmas PJs. And I'm almost definitely going to Target immediately after this to procure said PJs.
I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
And so then we get a shot of Adam in his bed.
Oh, yeah.
Being, like,
looking
weirdly,
all
like, emo.
Yeah.
And he gets out the ring and
it was
looks
nice that
they
didn't have his shirt on, though.
Yeah.
He's got some sick abs. Yeah.
Maybe not in some of the later photos we found.
But,
great body. And not wearing
he's
a shirt.
Keeping it tight.
And he gets out the ring and kind of looks at it. And then he calls the ring people. So we found out at some point that he got the ring when he was in Italy, and kind of when he was away, he was feeling like she was the one. And it's only really since he got back in town that he's feeling doubts. And so clearly, like, some flutters have been brought on recently by Wendy, and he's basically calls the jewelers in Italy. to find out. He talked about the, like, exchange policy. So I was like, is he listening to Wendy's advice to get a different ring?
That was
kind of what I thought at first. But you find out later, like, he really was just calling about the return policy. So he picks up the phone and he dials this number in Italy. And he goes, hi, this is Adam Hughes from the States.
Amazing.
Like, what? Like, he's the only American customer they've ever had, and they'll know exactly who he is.
And also, why does it matter that he's calling from the States?
Why? Why? Like, there's no reason.
I was in your store. Maybe
I bought a ring. What's the exchange policy? And I happen to live in the States, so it might be more complicated. Right. Let me know. Can I ship it? Whatever. But
this is Adam Hughes calling from the States.
It was ridiculous. So he can't get in touch with, like, the shop owner. So he's like, okay, have him call me back when he can. And that scene's kind of over. And then she comes back the next – Wendy comes back the next day. Is that the next thing you have?
Yes. So, well, I have a conversation with Wendy. I may have missed something.
Oh, no,
you're
right.
The conversation with Tressa and Wendy and
right.
probably Caroline, but who cares about her. Where Tressa says, so Wendy updates them on everything, and then Tressa says, if this guy breaks her heart, this is not exactly what she said, but this is the gist of it. If this guy breaks her heart, my cowboy boots will kick his ass so hard, he'll be spitting out my spurs.
That is what she said.
She didn't say kick his ass, though, right? Can they say ass in these movies?
Maybe not.
But I didn't get what it was. But that was basically what was said.
That was the gist of it. Yeah. So she's great. If we haven't said that already.
Yep. Love Tressa.
And then while they're having this conversation, Wendy gets this call that, so the tree for Christmas future, all the ornaments are going to be made by kids in one of the art programs that Adam's Foundation supports, which was Wendy's idea that obviously Miss Hall took credit for. And she finds out that they're not going to be delivered early in the day like she thought, but it's going to be the end of the day. So she calls him to tell him, and she's all kind of glowy and giggly. And he basically, I think, like, invites her to come over and decorate once they arrive. Mm-hmm. So she's going to go over to his house that evening for
suggestive
tree decorating.
Yep.
So they're like, oh, the ornaments are super cute, and they're, like, decorating the tree and having fun. And then he pulls out a present to give her, and he's wrapped up in a bow, like, the 5 DVDs of the Christmas movies she named as her favorite Christmas movies as a kid. And it's a really sweet gift. I can't believe he, like, remembered the right ones. It's really, really thoughtful, and he wants to kind of – she used to watch them with her father, so he's, like, bringing that back. And it's really nice. And then it turns out he hasn't seen any of them, not even It's a Wonderful Life.
Which, actually, I've never seen either.
What?
I know I'm wrong.
That's crazy.
Time out.
Yeah.
So, how pissed would you be if your boyfriend was doing all of this shit with another woman?
So pissed.
Right?
Like, he's really not a good
what
guy.
What is he doing?
If he didn't love Christmas, he would
he
not
would
be a good
yeah,
guy.
He would not be a good guy. Thank God he loves Christmas.
And, like, Wendy's just okay with this.
Yeah.
Like, there's I would
no
feel
commentary.
Extreme guilt about, like, yeah, my boss's boyfriend is, like, hitting on me, and it's
and buying
kind of
me presents.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a power differential there because he's also a client, and,
it's
like,
very weird.
It is not, yeah.
It's not appropriate.
In our current environment, especially, it just seems, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Totally.
So
then they make this plan where they're going to watch all 5 DVDs in a row, and order in Chinese food. Again, I think really trying to drive home the, like, we're really comfortable. We don't need to be fancy.
Right,
motif.
Totally. And look, he's down to earth. He's not just some rich guy with no sense of, actually, he kind of is though, because he had never bought a Christmas tree, remember?
Right.
Because they just showed up. Yeah.
They just appeared.
So they're trying to humanize him a little bit, and it's kind of working.
Yeah, it works. It works. So they do this video montage where they, like, show them on the couch eating Chinese food, and then the clock moves a few hours, and now they're having dessert, and the clock moves a few hours, and they're eating popcorn, and she cries at one point, and he gives her, like, a napkin to dry her tears, and then the clock moves a bit, and she's, like, kind of fallen asleep on the couch, mm-hmm. and he very sweetly, predictably gets the blanket from next to him and wraps her up in it, And then the clock moves, and then he's fallen asleep too, and they're, yep, like cuddling together asleep on the couch.
It's very cute. So it's obviously you know what's going to happen next.
I wrote down, obviously, Miss Hall comes back.
Yeah. So Miss Hall shows up. She is fresh from New York. Her nose is fixed. And she catches them. And I don't really understand how this happened, because they heard it enough to wake up. They heard her.
Yeah, they hear her come in the door. She yells out Adam. She doesn't just, like, walk into this room first thing. Like, and they start to stir, but they just kind of stay laying on each other on the couch. So giving her, like, 20 seconds to walk through the house, yep, and find them cuddling on the couch together.
Yep, and she is horrified. And she's right to be horrified.
Rightfully so.
I don't know. There's a lot of time spent making her look like a terrible person, and she's pretty terrible. But she's also kind of right.
I mean, I don't know what I would do if I walked into my house and
your boyfriend's, like, snuggled up on the couch next to your assistant, where they've clearly been sleeping together all night. Yeah.
The other thing, too, that I was thinking about was, like, she must have come back really early for them to still be asleep on the couch, because you don't really, like, conk out all night, right? But she's coming back from New York, so either she got on a train at, like, 4 a.m.
Maybe she took, like, a 6 a.m. shuttle.
Yeah, but, like, it's still kind of early. I don't know. The timing felt a little off to me.
I mean, there are so many shuttles, and especially if it's a... I feel like she could...
She also had no stuff with her. That's the other thing. So I was like, did she stop at home, or did you... I don't know. It's very confusing.
Oh, maybe she stopped at home. But then that adds time, too.
I know. The whole timeline
was... We don't know where she lives. Maybe she's... I feel like she might not be in his neighborhood.
I don't know.
Because she lives in a high-rise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like she would not be in Back Bay. So... Yeah. Or maybe... I don't know. Anyway, Boston... We'll see.
So
Boston.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah. Who knows? So she, like, Wendy leaves, as she should. And this was my favorite line. He goes to kiss her, and she stops him, and she goes, "You smell like cheap takeout."
Amazing.
It was killer.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Like, both the literal takeout, cheap takeout, and the, like, that's, like, totally a dig at Wendy herself. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that line. I thought it was quality. And if I ever were in her shoes, I hope I would be that clever.
I hope I can use that line at some point in my life.
I would really like to use that line at some point. Yeah.
I wrote Miss Hall. I like Miss Hall's casual wear. So she's wearing a drapey. This is the only time we've seen her where she's not wearing,
a dress. She looks real cute.
She was really cute. So she had, like, a drapey cardigan. She had a shimmery low-cut tank top, and she had, like, I don't know, maybe some jeggings or something and knee-high boots, and it was really cute.
Yeah, I was into it. So he goes to shower, comes back, and he's dressed in a suit, because we find out I wrote, why is he in a suit, but then we find out he has to go to a board meeting.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, I have a little bit of time, we need to talk, and she's like, we can talk later. So, and while he was in the shower, she went and found the ring in his nightstand, and she, like, puts it on and is just, like, wearing it. And so then she calls Wendy and tells her to come back once Adam leaves the house. And Wendy comes over, and she's basically like, clean up this Chinese takeout trash, and then you're fired. And if you try to contact him, you will never work in this town again.
She's terrible.
Yep. And I don't know, like, if I had gotten fired, I would be like, bitch, clean up the trash yourself.
Totally.
But, like, Wendy just does it. Again, she probably doesn't want to be blacklisted, but I don't know. I would not have patience at that point. Mm-hmm. And does she also show Wendy the ring?
Yeah, I think she does. I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I didn't either. So. But I think she basically tells Wendy, look, I got engaged, even though she wasn't engaged yet. It's pretty upsetting.
She's obviously trying to manifest an engagement by putting the ring on her finger and then telling him later on that they're engaged.
Right.
Basically.
So then Wendy goes and has a heart to heart with Tressa, who's awesome. And she's like, you rock. Miss Hall sucks. And Wendy's just like crying uncontrollably. I don't know. I guess I get both sides of the women, but.
Yeah, it's not good for anyone.
No.
I mean.
But Tressa, like, gives her solid, you know, solid friend support, yeah, and, like, good hugs. And she's like, come with me to the theater. It'll get your mind off of everything. Meanwhile, Adam goes to the theater pretty much just to tell Charlie that he's decided to return the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes home, and Miss Hall has the ring on, and she's basically like, I saw this, and yes, the answer's yes, we're getting married. And he's like, I'm not asking you. And she's like, nope, we're getting married now, we're engaged.
She proposes to herself, is...
Totally. And she's like, the ring isn't perfect, but we can get it reset, and which shows that really Wendy was right, that it wasn't quite the ring that she wanted. And don't speak, and she's like, makes out with him to like get him to not talk.
Yep. And this is actually where I was thinking manipulative energy. And
totally.
Then his response is, I need a drink.
Yeah. Which was great. But he probably should have said, no, we're not getting
engaged. No, we are not. Yeah, we're not getting
engaged. She also tells him that Wendy had quit in the morning, and she's devastated that Wendy quit. And it's, Wendy doesn't want to be a part of our world.
What does that even
Which
mean?
Just like, I don't know, it was very Little Mermaid, and I was like, I don't know, I think you don't want to be a part of Wendy's world, but, so she self-proposes, and it's really weird, and so she also makes this call to the newspaper, maybe before that or after that, I'm not sure, where she, like, gives them an anonymous tip that they're going to be engaged, and the Christmas party fundraiser thing is going to actually be an engagement party, and they can find their couple photo on profile or like on file.
Yeah. She mentioned an event. She's like, look at the Boston Pops from last year or something like
that. What? It was great. It was great. So then it's in the news. So like everyone knows about it. And then we go to the theater and Charlie and Tressa are talking, and turns out like Tressa kind of like Charlie reveals all. So Tressa like kind of tells him some of the story. And he's like, oh, well, Adam told me he wasn't going to...
He had a flutter on an elevator, and he isn't getting married.
Yep. And then Tressa goes, get out of town. And Charlie goes, I would, but I live here. Which is just like, I don't know why. It's just out of nowhere, but it was really funny.
Oh, then they're back at the apartment getting ready, and Tressa mm-hmm. is convincing Wendy that she needs to come out and that being at the theater will make her feel better and that she can make out with male ballet dancers. And Wendy is drinking Polar Seltzer for the second time that I've noticed in the movie, which led me to believe that they were a sponsor of the film.
That and coffee. The coffee industry.
Yes, the coffee industry. Big coffee. Big coffee actually put this film out. And Tressa looks amazing. We both commented
on it while
watching.
Oh my god, she looks incredible.
She looks so good.
She's the star of the movie.
She really is. So then we go to the party where Miss Hall is with Adam, and she is trying to gaslight him into marrying her.
Right. So we've also seen like some montage footage of her like wedding planning and stuff in the like one day since this all went down. And he's basically like, I didn't propose to you. And she's like, well, I think how it happened is romantic, which it wasn't. She just said, yes, I will marry you. And he was like, I didn't ask.
You found a ring that he was planning to return.
Right. Right. Oh, we totally like blew over the fact that
she intercepted the call from the
jeweler. Italian store called back, and she got the phone call that was like, he wanted to know about the return policy, and I think that's what made her like spur into action and put the ring on and all that stuff.
Do you think when they called, the guy was like, this is Giacomo calling from Italy?
Yes. Yes, definitely. And then also, so in the very beginning, Wendy had brought over this nutcracker to his house on the very first day, mm-hmm. and he loved it, and they had hung it on the tree, and it was missing from the tree, so he asks Miss Hall, where is the nutcracker ornament, and she's basically like, it's terrible, I took it off, it's childish. And then she looks at the tree, and there's, like, all these pine needles underneath, and she's like, oh, real Christmas trees make such a mess, I hate real Christmas trees. And he was like, well, then why did you propose them in your plan? And you know I love them, right? And she was like, oh, Sure. Oops. And this was like his light bulb moment where he starts to realize that maybe she didn't actually do the design for this party.
Yeah, this guy's not too quick on the uptake, so it's good that he was born into money.
Right. So at this point, he asks, what was your inspiration for the design? And so this was like the working girl metaphor coming full circle because, you know, it's one of my favorite movies. At the end, the way that they know that Melanie Griffith really had the idea is she talks about her inspiration, and Sigourney Weaver can't explain. She comes up with some stupid story about why she thinks that Trask Industries should buy
the radio. Yeah,
the merger.
Whereas I think Melanie Griffith was reading. She'd the been gossip reading a column,
yes,
and finds out about a marriage that's going to happen, and puts two and two together and realizes, like, Trask. She's like, I was just thinking Trask Radio.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the Trask Radio moment.
The Trask Radio moment. And so she does know that It's a Christmas Carol was the inspiration because, obviously, Wendy said that about a million times. But she thinks that it was his grandfather's copy of A Christmas Carol. And as we know, he is obsessed with his grandmother, not his grandfather. And so that's when he realizes, like, okay, this was not her idea and whatever. But they still, like, go to the ballet together.
Yeah, that part makes no sense. But then he gets up, basically as soon as they sit down, and goes backstage.
So, because Charlie was kind of, like, waving the wings. But he, like, goes, crawls over everyone.
Yeah,
and
so
then
stupid.
She follows him. And we see kind of backstage, also, we see Wendy in the outfit that Tressa's convinced her to wear. And she's got body glitter on again. So I was like, oh great, now he'll recognize her because she's got glitter on.
Or actually he won't recognize her as Wendy, he'll recognize her as the girl from the elevator.
Exactly.
I don't know how she's gonna, yeah, I don't know how you rectify that, but.
Yeah. So he starts to walk up to her and then Miss Hall catches up. So the three of them are there and she just, Wendy like tells Miss Hall like it is, tells her she's a terrible person. And then she turns to Adam and she's like, you're not the man I fell in love with. And, like, you know, I don't even know why she said that.
No,
just because
either.
He didn't recognize her?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's really mad at him.
But she did say this, and this is a really good point. You chose her. Like, that is a pretty serious indictment of his character.
That's
like, the
true.
Fact that he would be with this woman is. Yeah.
And Miss Hall also in this moment is, like, bitching about the glitter. Like, she really hates glitter.
She's terrible.
So she tells them both off and she leaves and she's so upset that she gets in the elevator to leave. And the doors close and he pushes the button and they open again and she's standing there and he walks into the elevator, like bringing us back to the opening of the movie. And he's really sweet and he's just, can you forgive me for being blind and not realizing who you were? Can you,
wait, we forgot a key part.
Oh.
So as you recall, Miss Hall had to leave and go to New York because she injured her nose earlier in the movie.
Sorry. I ruined it.
So, no, you didn't. So Charlie and Tressa are like backstage watching all of the drama unfold and they are scheming and they do something to make, they mess with one of the pulleys. And a piece of scenery hits Miss Hall in the nose. Oh, is it a nutcracker?
It was like a seven-foot nutcracker.
Perfect. So that hits her in the face, and she basically has the exact same injury that she got at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And then he leans down, presumably, she thinks, to help her up. And instead, he just reaches toward her hand and takes the ring.
That's amazing. It's really amazing.
It's a really good scene.
So then he runs to the elevator to stop Wendy and gets in with her. And, you know, can you forgive me for being blind? And he's like, you taught me, did you mean what you said about being in love with me? And then he's like, you taught me the true meaning of Christmas, which is love or something like that, which happens in all these movies that Christmas equals love.
How is Christmas?
Like, the meaning of Christmas is love. And
like, it's like romantic
love.
What?
Yeah.
Like what's happening?
I have never
had any sort of romantic Christmas that I can recall.
No, it's like about your parents and kids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And.
Oh, I actually wrote down what he said, which was, thanks to falling elevators and a beautiful, glittering woman who brought the true meaning of Christmas back into my life, I fell in love as well.
She's like,
yeah.
So then Charlie and Tressa, who are like, you know, contriving this whole situation, stop the elevator so that they're kind of stuck on a floor and they can have, you know, relive the first kiss and mm-hmm. have their next kiss and be really happy. And I was really happy with this ending because really, like, Charlie and Tressa kind of make everything happen at the end, and Caroline is not involved. Nowhere.
They cut her out, like two-thirds of the way.
They were like, this bitch
everyone
sucks.
Hates Caroline.
Let's get rid of her. Yeah. Like, I mean, so I was just glad that she didn't have anything to do with them being a successful couple.
Because then we'd have to like her.
Yeah, not into it. And then the final shot is, like, their wedding announcement engagement announcement in the newspaper, in which she's listed as a scenic designer. So I guess she's gone back to theater,
yep.
And that's what she really wants to be doing with her life. So Christmas equals true love and no Caroline involved.
Yep. So next time on Business Christmas, we will be talking about a movie called Christmas Festival of Ice. So the description of that movie is, Emma is determined to keep her hometown's Christmas ice sculpting contest going. She enlists sponsors and artists, but Nick, the town's ace artisan, isn't interested in competing until he sees what Emma has accomplished. So this one I'm actually particularly excited about because my favorite comedian, Jen Kirkman, who has a podcast called I Seem Fun, mentioned it on one of her recent episodes. So Jen Kirkman is a really big fan of these holiday Christmas movies and the business Christmas subgenre in particular. And so it came recommended from her. So I definitely am really excited to see it.
We're excited. Yeah. And we will also have our first guest on the podcast.
We will. We're bringing in our friend Amanda, who is a Hallmark Christmas movie virgin.
She has never seen one of these. She knows we're obsessed. That's about all she knows. And she doesn't really know what she's getting herself into, but
no, she doesn't.
I suspect she'll be a fan.
I think so too.
So hopefully you guys will join us for the next one. We'll cover Christmas Festival of Ice with our friend Amanda, and it should be a good time.
Yep. Till next time.
Bye.